Welcome to our hymn sing tonight. For our first song, let's tell you, get your Christian hymnals and turn to number one. Number one. This song brings memories out to me when I was, first time I was asked to lead singing in our home church. I was in my teens, and this is one of the songs that we sang. And I remember that I didn't have the quiet rhythm right on it, and it didn't turn out quite as good as I like. But anyhow, it brings out memories from the past. Come thou, O mighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to turn over to number 25. This song was a favorite of my wife's grandfather, and I was asked to help sing at his funeral, and my wife-to-be was there, but I did not notice her or see her or anything like that till 2 years later when we met and had our courtship from there. But anyhow, this was a favorite of her grandfather.
I have found the friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my strength. He tells me every care on him to roll. The rising morning star,
Take your church hymnals and turn to number 455. Peace, perfect peace. What I like about this song, it asks a question and then it answers the question there. Like the first verse, peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Brother Denton will lead us in our devotional.
Good evening, everyone. See if I can unfold this. So I thought I'd start with opening to Psalm 103. I'd like to read through the first 14 verses. As I was kind of thinking about what all to share here, I was thinking kind of about trusting in God and how trustworthy God is, some things I've been thinking through lately. So let's go ahead and read Psalm 103, verse 1 through 14. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. So, looking through there, I think it was just interesting to notice all the things that God said, that says God does for us. You know, how he's, you know, forgiving our iniquities, healing our diseases, things like that. And then also that verse where it says he's merciful and gracious and things. And also, of course, that one where it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that fear him. Definitely gives the idea that he cares about us. And so I'd just like to look at some more things about his trustworthiness. So thinking about God caring for us, I'd like to go to Luke 12. And kind of just jump in here. Jump here at verse 27, just after he talked about the God's care for the ravens and things. So starting at verse 27, it says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Brothers, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's like it's interesting how here he's, through this whole passage, I think, pretty clearly communicating that we ought to trust him for things like this, our basic needs and things. And also, just showing, again, once again, how much he cares about us. Not only does, you know, he hears us when we pray, but he also already knows what we need and what we're going to pray about. So he's definitely paying attention. But then I think it's interesting, jumping over back to verse 6, it says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. It was interesting, I was thinking about it. Sometimes it seems that sparrows sing better and also cause less trouble. But it still says that, basically God says that we're more valuable than many sparrows. Kind of interesting there. Then also it's interesting that part about him knowing the number of hairs on our head. Just interesting in that. He also knows how many used to be there for a lot of us. But most of us don't really know how many hairs are on our head or probably care to know. If you do know, maybe you need a new hobby or something. But it is interesting, from what I found, on average, people will usually have somewhere around 80,000 to 120,000 of the terminal hairs, which are the main ones that you notice. Then the rest of your body pretty much is, except like the palms of your hands are covered in what's called vellus hair, which is a whole lot smaller and you don't really notice it, thankfully. And God knows how many of those there are too. And none of us really need to know that. But it is interesting that he knows every single detail about our lives, even the things that we don't really, wouldn't really notice or care about. Then it's also interesting, so you know, he cares about every detail, but he's also omnipotent, you know, all-powerful. I'd like to look at some things with that. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And it's interesting when we look at the stars and things, how much it shows kind of his power, I guess. Isaiah 40:12, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. That was interesting, him, you know, thinking about, for one thing, him measuring the waters in the hollow of his hand. Yeah, there's 70% covered in water, and the oceans aren't shallow. I mean, that's, yeah. But then it says he meets out heaven with a span, measures heaven with a span, and basically that's from your pinky to your thumb like that. And that's not just the earth, that's the universe. And so it's interesting, maybe you think of that verse, you know, he's got the whole world in his hands, right? It's more like he's got the whole infinitely more than we can ever imagine in his hands is kind of what it feels like there. But you guys are probably familiar with the Hubble Space Telescope. There were some really interesting things about that, especially the Hubble Ultra Deep Field picture they got. I'm actually not sure when they got that, but it's something I like pointing out to people at the museum that I find really fascinating. Basically, with the Hubble telescope, you can see all kinds of stuff out there that you can't see with just your eyes or with binoculars or regular telescopes. But people wondered what else is out there. And so they zoomed in really, really far on a dark spot in the sky. Far enough, actually, you know, as you zoom in, you kind of get a smaller size that you're looking at. It was the same pretty much as if you took one of those little coffee stirrers, those little straws, and held it arm's length and looked through it. Or NASA said an 8-foot-long soda straw, but I don't think I could hold that straight. But that tiny little spot, they had the shutter open for a total of 11 days, I think it was. You know, usually we take a picture and just a little snap and there we go. They wanted to let in any trace of light that might be out there. And it's interesting, the picture they got, I don't have it with me or something, but it wasn't a dark spot anymore. There's all these little spots of light, about 10,000 of them, they estimated. So I also decided not to draw it on the board. a lot of dots. But the interesting thing is they weren't stars. They're galaxies. Each galaxy, on average, is made up of around 100 billion stars. So you can do the math and figure out how many stars that is in that one picture. It's a lot more than I would want to count, for one thing. But it's just amazing. In that one tiny little spot, then you imagine the rest of the sky. There's a lot of stars. And then when you realize most of those stars are way bigger than the sun, like where if you put them next to each other, you wouldn't actually be able to see the sun. That's really amazing. But I think it's interesting that Psalm 147, there it says, God calls them all by name. That's a lot of names. But then also Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." That's interesting. He was breathing them out, basically just speaking them into existence. Doesn't seem like it takes a lot of effort. that's not a big task right there. Oh, and in Genesis 1:16, God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Then it says he made the stars also. So then he's talking about the sun and moon. Then it just says he made the stars also. Well, the fascinating thing is if you look in most Bibles, he made is italicized. Basically means that was added because in English that grammar, that makes sense more. But in Hebrew, it's actually just the stars also. Three words for all that, just almost like an afterthought. But it's interesting now, I just kind of get the feel from that making stars wasn't a big accomplishment on God's part. It was, you know, basically that was easy. So it's interesting thinking about all that out there and how that's almost nothing for God. So it's interesting that he's all-powerful. He cares about every detail in our life. And so I'd wonder, well, is there anything we shouldn't trust him with? It was kind of an interesting thing to think about. And it's interesting also, sometimes we think of physical needs, But it's also interesting that Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I think it's interesting, one of the most amazing works that God does is how he changes our hearts and lives. Sometimes, I know personally, I kind of seem to forget that a little bit, that I can trust him with that too. And when I go mess things up, I think it's good to remember he's still working. As long as I'm seeking him and trusting him, he's still working even when I mess things up. And I think it's interesting, I don't really understand what he's doing a lot of the time, but I can still choose to trust him because I know that what he's doing is best. Of course, not only do I not know what he's doing, I don't often know what I'm doing. And so, double reason why it's better to just trust him and not try to fix things myself or fix myself. And so I think it's interesting that, you know, when things don't make sense, we can know God's still working, and we can trust him that he's doing what's best, whether we understand it or not. So I think it's interesting that God is very, very trustworthy. So that's all I have. All right. Well, let's pray real quick. Lord, thank you so much for this day, and thank you so much that we can be here. Thank you so much that you are trustworthy. Lord, I pray that you would be with everyone here, Lord, and help us all to truly see how great you are, Lord, and how much you care for us, Lord. I pray that you would just help us to truly find peace in that as we follow you, Lord. Much praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Denton, for sharing those thoughts with us. And it's good to see all of you here this evening. You heard me allude to this situation probably this morning. I just want to tell you something here. I said something in 50 years. I don't think Will and I have ever been together on the hymn sing. In our earliest days here, I don't remember how the hymn sings were exactly organized. Eventually, we got to the place where we decided we would put two people on every time for being in charge of hymn sing. But through all of that, Will and I were either with someone else always, and so it's really very special for me to be here with him tonight. And as we, you know, feel the hourglass of life slipping away, you know, if we go as long till the next time, well, it won't ever happen again on this side. So we want to enjoy this time together. Sometimes people use an expression when they talk about singing that this or that was a fun song to sing. It's a word that doesn't cut it for me. You know, have you ever read a scripture that was fun to read? Or have you ever listened to a sermon that was a fun sermon? It doesn't quite have the right sound. It can be very exciting to sing and even to read the scripture or even to hear a message. But fun doesn't cut it. Now, we may say more about that a little later, but I want to just tell you real quickly here two little short Amish stories, and I want to sing a song after that. Some of you children probably don't remember that I told you last summer during Bible school about two little people called Joe and Maggie. Joe and Maggie were two little people. One helped me roll the bales off, and the other was holding the check as I drove out the lane. Just recently that I found out that this mother right here in Seymour, an Amish mother with a good-sized family, is also a school teacher. And in the only two-room, double-story school, Amish school in Webster County that I know of, that's the one she teaches at. I thought this was significant and of interest, and maybe you don't think it's interesting, but I wanted to share that with you. I think it's extremely unusual, and when you think of a household without, I don't know how much plumbing they've got, I am afraid it's pretty scarce. There must be a lot of things there that could be, amazingly difficult, so I'm impressed. Also want to share a story that happened that I heard this earlier this year when we were in the state of Indiana, and my niece's husband there, a man named Mel Esch, told us this story. I just was so blessed by it, I'd like to share it with you. This, once again, was dealing with an Amish lady that was brought to him by her daughter. And since they have kind of a counseling session type of thing there, that's why they came there. And this is the reason they came. As they came, and you notice this woman her hands were very trembly. She couldn't hold them still. Perhaps like the beginnings of Parkinson's, but this had been here a long time. So their family had two divisions of thought. One was to see pursue medication for this issue that she had, and the other thought was, let's see if we can deal with her anxiety. And so as they came there and began to visit, this is the reason and the cause of her anxiety. From her childhood up, this girl had been left-handed, this woman. And her father always called her weird. So when she came into Mel's presence there, she told him, I'm weird. And evidently, through her childhood, her father would often have her seated by him at the table, and if she made a mistake about using her left hand, he would always reprimand her. It did not sound like he physically hurt her, but he always was telling her she's weird. And she grew up with this, and so here she was in distress. And so also she told Mel, now he is well versed in the Pennsylvania Dutch language, she said, now we'll speak in Dutch, Pennsylvania Dutch. I said, okay. So from that point on, everything was in Pennsylvania Dutch, if you can imagine that, this counseling session being held in Pennsylvania Dutch. Well, so they talked, and he tried to assure her that she is of value and that she is not weird. And so after some time, he had told her that he would like to pray with her. And this was done then, and if you realize now, everything's still in Pennsylvania Dutch, the prayer as well. So after they had this prayer, and I can't say what all he prayed about, but especially that she would realize her value and that she is loved by her Heavenly Father. And after they were done praying, she said, Ich spür eine tiefe Ruhe. I feel a deep rest or peace. And her hands had stopped shaking. So he shared that story with me, and I was just blessed by it. And I asked him one other thing then. So I said, so how, you know, when we think of in our business, we go on these things called service calls and put in doors, and there's usually something to pay. So I said, so how do you charge for something like this? Well, it turns out they don't charge anything, which is beautiful. But how do people get their money then for doing this? So he said, well, different, their own churches evidently give them support. Some time ago, evidently, there was some Mennonite foundation in Pennsylvania, I think it was, who inquired from them what their program is and what their doctrinal statement is, or just different things, and where they are. And then after some time later after that, a nice big sizable check, I forget what it was, seemed like it was maybe 50 or 100,000, I don't know what, good size donation was put into the fund. So those are two stories that have blessed me. And I'd like to just sing another song about peace. If you'll turn to number 454 in the church hymnal, we'll sing this song, which was also one that has been often sung here in this congregation. In the rifted rock, I'm resting. And after this song, we're going to ask the children to come up. And Mrs. Jessica Yoder is going to be leading them in some numbers. And I'm not sure just what age these children are that come up here to sing in the evening. I think it would be nice if maybe all those up at least to 10 years of age would come along up and make a little bit larger group. Now, I can't make you come, but if you're willing to come, I'd like for you to. Let's sing this song in the Rifted Rock.
Oh, in the Rifted Rock, I'm resting, safely sheltered.
Thank you.
Well, what a beautiful group of future chorus fathers and mothers and who knows what all. Thank you, children, and Jessica for leading them. Let's turn to number 636 in your church hymnal. I'd like to, since this is hymn sing, I think it's good once in a while to do a little bit of something that would be of an instructional value. Now, I thought about getting these notes written up on here and pointing them out to you, but just like some of the things, not everything got done. I'd like to sing this first verse, just singing the notes. I don't know if all the notes of the scale are found in here, but the mystery of song can be mostly unraveled by learning those seven notes that are in the scale. Often weary and worn, so we like to sing the notes. Have you all just sing the melody? We'll sing the notes all the way through the first time here, and maybe if you don't know these notes, you can learn a few of them just by hearing your neighbor. Now, the first three are do, re, mi, so there's three notes there that you can learn. If you learn those three, you only have about four more to go. And I will tell you something that happened to me years ago when I was just a young boy, about fifth grade. And I landed in a prayer meeting class in Blountstown, Florida, and we got down there, and here are these boys and girls, they were having music class, and they were having notes, and I didn't know these notes. I think the next day, I got my cousins to make me a drawing of those notes, and I think I learned them in about one day's time. So it's nothing too difficult, and it's good for what ails you. So let's sing these notes here, and then we'll sing the words. Some of you that, I don't think there are very many students in this that I had, but if you were one of my students in the past, you likely had a chance to learn the notes to this song. So we'll give adults and all a chance here this evening. All right, let's just all sing the melody, sing the notes. And here's a chance to just kind of cast caution aside and sing them good and loud. How do you say it?
Oh, do re mi, mi.
Nor will he hear on a bed of sin.
All right, this time we're going to have a ladies group come forward. So I'd like for you to come right away, and meanwhile, I'd like to tell a little bit of a story about you. And that is the fact, please come on up, don't wait. Some time ago, my wife did casually promise me that, you know, the next time I would have to have him sing, that she would, you know, get a group together. Well, it got pretty weak this time, so we had to do a little encouraging. But anyhow, we're here, they're here now, and I'm glad they're going to sing for us and bless us with this message and song.
A while ago, James came into the house and he did something that reminded me so much of his father. And I just couldn't believe it. And I said, honey, I realize I married my father-in-law. And without missing a beat, he said, so did I. So as we get to be more and more like our fathers, one way or another, sometimes some things we like and some we don't, there is a heavenly Father that we can emulate and that we can try to be like. And so this is what our song is tonight. This is my Father's world. And I'm so thankful that since we serve the same Father, we are all family. Jesus. I appreciate these young mothers. They are young enough to be my daughters, almost all of them. And I think they have taught me so much.
Every day, trusting in His grace and power.
Thank you, ladies. That was beautiful. Let's turn to number 600 in the Christian hymnal. Number 600.
No tears.
At this time, we'll have a men's quartet. I'd like to thank you ladies for sharing this message. With just the quartet coming up this time, folks. Sorry about that. Hate to disappoint you. We're going to have something else here first. We'll catch you later. For probably several years, I've been wanting to do this, and I'd like to warn you ahead of time, it's not going to sound as good as that ladies' group did. But Will and Wayne in particular were some of the strong bulwarks. In some of our earlier singing, that we tried to do. It really wasn't all that successful a lot of times, but their input was substantial. Remember after Wayne had moved away from here, Wayne and Dora, and then later they came back, and I was talking with my nephew Gail, and I said, hey, Wayne Ramers have moved back. He said, the bass singer? I said, that's the one. And so... you know, when we were thinking of, I was thinking of having this, at least with these two men and someone else to help us. Why, I don't know who was first. Will had major surgery, and Wayne, I don't know if you call it what, super major surgery. We're thankful he's here with us. This song is one that we had sung, and you know, these other men could hardly even remember it. That's how bad things are. But the song goes well with our Sunday school lesson this morning, Just Abide. Is the day's load heavy? Just abide. And the day's road stormy? Just abide. If your heart is growing weary, and your sky is gray and dreary, just abide. Keep on. Abiding. One story about David Ramer here helping us out in this deal tonight. Now, approximately 30 years ago, just about this time of the year, I was having back issues that were bothering me a lot. And during some of that recovery, why Delbert and Clara and the children, David, Alan, and Margaret, they came a song and they kind of sang a fun song for me that evening to cheer me up. It was a song about a bear chasing somebody, and he jumped up to reach a branch, and he missed it. But he caught it on the way back down. I'm going to put this mic over here so you can hear Wayne sing, and he won't have to work too hard at it without hurting himself here.
Just abide and seed blighting, just abide, and the worn feet weary, just abide. Pilgrim songs in notes are thrilling, all the soul with rapture filling, just abide and keep on abiding.
We're following a little different protocol here this evening. We're going to have the chorus come up and sing at this time. And after that, was really happy and pleased to see that our son Michael and Diana have arrived here this evening, which we couldn't say it before. I was afraid Emma wouldn't be able to sing her song. So, Michael, after the chorus sings, would you pick out a song, please, and just come over, share a word if you want to, and lead it for us? All right, chorus, come up and sing for us.
Should maybe say a little bit of what we're going to do. We're going to sing three simple songs tonight. I've enjoyed leading the chorus so far. I think they've been putting up with a lot with me, so I thank them for it. The one song we're still in the process of practicing, so bear with us on it. But it's probably one of my favorite songs, or it's turning into one of my favorite songs, called "Just As I Am." And I love the words, the message to it. It's really beautiful if you listen. Just listen to the words of what is being said, and the tune to go with it. And then there's a little extra chorus that we've added to it, and really enjoy it.
To thee, O Lord,
to thee, O Lord,
do I lift up my soul.
Do I lift up my soul?
Oh, my God, I trust in thee. ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yeah, let them that wait on me be ashamed. Yeah, let them that wait on me be ashamed.
Let not mine enemies.
strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Thine host shall encamp again. See, my horn shall not fear. The washer rise again.
The washer rise against
me. In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord,
that I
well, I guess I'll do my shaking up here. It's good to be here this evening. It's about as much a surprise for us as it is for Mom and Dad. We were over at Irvin and Kendra Stalsfu's place this afternoon, a very nice couple at our church, and we were enjoying some elk and all sorts of good visit. And we just got home, and we're laying down for a nap, and we had a busy day last week. Last week was really busy for a school sale and getting ready for that. And then the next couple weeks are pretty busy too. And so Nan and I were kind of considering maybe not even going to church tonight. Pretty tired. And then we got this text from Mom that Uncle Will and Dad would be having to him sing. I thought, well, that would be special to see that. So, the adrenaline flowed a little bit. It was already too late to be on time. But, put the hammer down. Went past three state troopers, made me a little nervous. But we made it here safe and sound. And I appreciate the songs that we've sung tonight. I love that song, Just As I Am, is one of my favorite. So tonight I would like to sing the song 483 in the Christian hymnal. The older I get, the more I realize how much Satan wants to get any of us and all of us. He doesn't care your age, he doesn't care who you are, he doesn't care what your status is, It's here in Seymour, it's in our church, it's in all over. And it seems like Charles Hosteller told me a while back, especially when COVID was kind of going on and things were a little bit rough, and it seemed like it's amazing how much some of that stuff has separated people and churches and families. He said, it feels like the devil's on Red Bull. Just all out effort. And I think he knows his time is close. So this song is an encouragement to me, and hopefully it'll be an encouragement to you too. Song number 483, Will Your Anchor Hold?
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tide lift and the cables strain, will your anchor lift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, rounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely secure by the Savior's hand, and the cables pass from his heart to mine can defy the pastor's strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps us soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It will firmly hold in the straits of fear when the breakers have told the reef is near, though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark flow. We sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, rounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Steadfast and sure, the billows roll, fastened to the rock which
I'm having a real problem here. Can't seem to find my glasses. I guess we'll make the rest of the night.
You're probably aware by now that we're going to go just a few minutes over time. We'll ask the men's chorus to come up here and bring a church or Christian hymnal. Either one is okay with you. I thought we'd sing at least some fairly familiar songs, and it seems like almost no one in this entire group even remembered these songs. One is the Song of the Soldier. The scripture speaks about being a good soldier in Jesus Christ. And also the second song, a song of resurrection. We shall sleep, but not forever.
Eyeglass or something like that.
One, two, and three, or four.
1, 2, and 4.
Children of salvation, all who cling to Christ the head, wake, arise, O mighty nation, ere the foe on Zion's tread. Pour it forth the mighty anthem,
pour it forth.
I'd like to do something really kind of different tonight. The song, God Be With You Till We Meet Again, is one of those songs, great songs that's been on my mind for probably several years again. I don't know how long. Last Sunday we heard it sung at the memorial service in a really nice way. I'd like to do something to help just cement it in our minds a little bit. Why don't you men kind of spread yourselves out to the corner there, and same way over here, kind of spread over there. And we'd like to ask all of you, if you would just walk out to the sides and see if we can make a complete circle and take a hymnal with you, and we'll sing the song, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. So either book will work. It's 654 in the, I think, the church hymnal, and 612 in the Christian hymnal.
I think it's right off. I think it's vice versa.
Okay, 612 in the church hymnal and 654 in the Christian hymnal.
So, yes, can we make a circle all the way around? Now, if you're not able, we'll forgive you for that, Robert. Robert, can you find where you are?
Excuse me.
Come on.
We're not going to make this complicated, but what I would like to do on the second verse, first verse, I'd like to have all the men just sing the melody. And maybe you ladies could kind of hum an accompaniment. After that, I'd like to sing the second verse and have all of you ladies sing the soprano till those of you who were there last Sunday will realize about to the end of the first verse, singing all soprano, then you sing soprano and alto down to the end where it says, God be with you till we meet again. After that, I'd like to sing the next verse, just kind of normal arrangement. We're only going to sing the chorus once. And the last verse, I'd like to have maybe some of the men sing baritones would carry some melody, and maybe a few of you sopranos sing some high tenor. And as we get to that last chorus then, till we meet at Jesus' feet. You know, I know we sing these words and we really can't visualize in our hearts and minds just how great a moment that will be. What a time. And here we are, we're a church family. Glad for every one of you that are here. And after this song then, we will ask whoever is closing the service, if you just stay where you are, we come up and have the closing comments and prayer. And then if you would, try and get your songbook back in the right place again so somebody doesn't have to work too hard to get that all straightened up. All the men, melody, sing the first song. You ladies could hum an accompaniment along of alto or tenor, whatever you feel led to do there. And then we'll have ladies sing the second verse and everybody on the last two verses.